Blog Talk Radio. My name is Yamsuf Arif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People show. A show where we study Yah in every aspect intently, try to ship all the information, try to do critical analysis and assessment, and we try to get to the bottom of the matter. So it seems everybody wants to do what they want to do and how they want to do it. Wherever they want to do it, it does not work like that. If you are a creator, a maker, you have all details fine-tuned. And it's incumbent upon us to get these fine-tuned codifications, specifications correct. Therein lies our antidote and our solutions. Be that as it may, speaking about this Western Hemisphere, you may ask yourself, Yamsuf Arif, is killings going overboard? People are doing things like they lost their mind. And it may seem random to you, but evil and wickedness is not random. No, evil and wickedness is not random. It's by design. To be just as it is, to make you full of anxiety, to get your trust in Yah to be dispelled. Don't never not put your trust in Yah, no matter what is going on in the realm of evilness and wickedness in this daughter of Babylon. It's the way it is, because you're in a realm that deals in such matters, so it shouldn't cause you too much alarm. Just get on your knees to Yah, laying on your bed or going on your back porch or looking out your window. Raise your voice to Yah, and therein seek some solutions. And again, in this realm that we live in this Western Hemisphere, is to be expected. Their poem, treat us a needle full of junior says, and it's true, which is tacky, they approached us, trashy, they approached us, and are terroristic. And sometimes all three together given a set of circumstances. So don't be surprised when you're treated tacky, trashy, and are terroristic. There again, put your trust and confidence in the Most High. Therein lies your solutions. And you may ask yourself, Yamsuf, brother, what time is it? It's an unusual, dangerous time. It's rather unusual, and it's rather dangerous. There again, raise your confidence and trust in the Most High. But most importantly, you should study the Most High. It's not going to come to you by chance and our happenstance. It's going to come, our kings and ancient that had to study the Most High, along with the priests. And the common people should have been studying right along with them. No, knowing the Most High and placing one trust in the Most High comes from studying the Most High and know who he is, what he is, and all what he's about. And you can't treat the Most High any kind of old tacky, old trashy, sometimes terroristic way. You have to give the Most High his due, and you have to approach him in that manner. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. That being said, you may have noticed I made mention of the weak. And who are the weak? Well, they are student teachers, as we all are in life. When you think you know it everything, you by dead. Or spiritually dead, in the least. So they are still studying and still learning, but yet what they do know, they have a tendency to teach. So we are all student teachers. Sister Abby out of New York City. Brother Cottrell of New York City. And what do I know about them? All that I need to know and you need to know, which is two components. They love the Most High with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And they're obedient and humble to him. And they love their brothers and sisters as they love themselves, meaning they love what they remotely look like in the mirror. So thus they are able to relate it to people that remotely look like them, unlike some of us who have been socially engineered and conditioned to hate what they look like in the mirror. Thus, they hate what remotely looks like them. It's true. So without further ado, let me bring these student teachers on. Sister Abigail, may the Most High bless you, sister. Your mic is hot. Sean.
Oh, shalom, family, and all praises and glory to Yah. my throat is so itchy from this mess, this smoke, so I'm not going to be talking tonight. I was trying to clear my throat.
Yeah, well, it's
Shalom, Sammy.
Shalom, it's good to hear you. Just stay off the mic, okay? It's good to hear you, sister. Praise the Most High.
So will.
And get you some water. Go in there, get you some lemon water. You got some lemon?
I got it with me. I got it right here.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Oh.
Good to have you, sister. Brother Cottrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
So shalom, all praise to the Holy One of Israel, God Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Bless y'all, all my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. It's good to hear your voices. Good to be back. Sorry to hear that Sister Aviyah struggling with this quality of air we're dealing with, but it's going to be all right.
Yes.
Yes.
It's going to be all right, sister. Bless your voice. Cottrell, any commentary, my brother? It's good to hear you, brother. May the Most High bless you. Any commentaries?
Just observation, stuff is going on, and we need to really link into our Creator, who's awakening us now. So many things are going on. We need to be tuned in. All praises.
All praises. You said a mouthful there, brother, in that short sentence. Praise Yah. Well, Sister Aviyah, Brother Cottrell, and fellow students, we're ready to proceed in our first segment of study. It's a continuation of the trespass offering and the offering with restitution. Chapter 6 of Bereishis. Some of you call it that bastardized version, Leviticus. That's not the name. The name is Vayikra, meaning Yah is calling it. He's not simply calling, be calling you. He's calling you to instruct you in your relationship with him as far as these offerings are concerned and so on and so forth. So pay close attention. You'll get a glean of who the Most High is because he's so specific in his information that he requires of us. He leaves nothing to chance in our happenstance. Chapter 6, and Yah spoke to Moses saying, if a person sins and commit a trespass against Yah by lying to his neighbor about what was delivered to him. Now, you know, if you gave me something and I lied to you what was delivered to him for safekeeping or about a pledge or you made a pledge to me or about a robbery or if he has extorted from his neighbors, his brothers and sisters, or if he has found what was lost and lies concerning you. You'd have found some of mine, but you're still lying like you ain't got it. Or swears falsely. Any one of these things, you lie about it, that a man may do in which he sins. Then it should be because he has sinned it and is guilty, that he should restore what he has stolen, or the things which he has extorted or was delivered to him for safekeeping. Or the lost thing was found, and I'm still lying, said it wasn't found. Or all that about which he has sworn falsely. He's been lying about things falsely. All that. He shall restore its full value. Add one-fifth more to it. And give it to whomever it belongs on the day of his trespass offering. On the day you bring this offering, you got to restore that. Not only the whole part, but a fifth added on to it. That'll teach you. He should bring his trespass offering to Yah. And what is that trespass offering? A ram without blemish from the flock with your valuation, the temple valuation, as a trespass offering to the priest. So the priest shall make atonement for any one of these things that he may have done that person in which he trespasses. The law specification concerning the burnt offering.
Yeah, also.
Yes, go ahead, Cottrell. Go ahead, brother.
When we do wrong to each other,
mm-hmm.
It's a trespass against Yah.
Exactly. Not just simply against me, but it's against Yah.
Yeah. We don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who understood it? Joseph understood it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't sleep with you, Potiphar's wife, because that's a trespass against Yah. I can't rob Potiphar because that's a trespass against Yah. Not only against Potiphar, but it's a trespass against Yah. So when we offend and violate one another, we're trespassing Yah.
Praise Yah. It's just that simple, Katrin. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you pointed it out.
Yeah.
It is not personally against Yom Suf or Cartrell, Sister Abia, or anyone you fellow students. You trespass against Yah. Yah don't like that. And Yah takes it personally. Thank you for pointing that out, Katrin. In the case of the story.
Because that's how it starts up. If anyone sins and commits a trespass against Yah, what's a trespass against Yah? Deals falsely. When you deal falsely with your neighbor in a matter of deposit or a bargain or a robbery, or he has oppressed his neighbor or found that which is lost and lied about it,
right,
and swearing to Allah in any of the things that a man sins in actions, then it shall be, if you sin, if guilty, he shall restore that which is took by robbery or the thing which he's gotten by oppression or the deposit which he has committed to him or the lost thing which he has found.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back. This trespass against Yah, because that's how it starts out. If anyone sins and commits a trespass against Yah. How do you commit a trespass against Yah? It's how we deal with each other.
Exactly. And we need to be cognizant of it, and we need all that, always have that in mind. A trespass against me is just not simply a trespass against me. It's a trespass against Yah. And if you're doing that type of thing, you better stop it. It's true. Praise Yah. Contrary, I like the story, and historically you pointed out, Joseph against Potiphar. He knew that it wasn't personally against Potiphar, if he did what he did. It was a trespass against Yah, and Joseph wasn't about to go there. Praise Yah. Thank you, Contrary.
And had he robbed Potiphar,
right,
he would have had to restore what he robbed, plus a fifth of what he took.
It ain't working.
But we're going to get into that.
And it ain't working. Not at all, my brother. Thank you, God, for bringing that out to the fellow students. Very informative. In the law of the burnt offering, the codifications, then Yah spoke to Moses, saying, command Aaron, the high priest, and his son, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the heart upon the altar all night until morning. And the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, his linen trousers. He shall put on his body and take up the ashes of the burnt offering which the fire has consumed on the altar. He shall put them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments. He has to be officially dressed for this. Then he shall take off his garments and put on other, his street garments, and carry the ash outside the camp to a clean spot, even the ash. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order on it. He shall burn on it the fat of the peace offering. The fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. What do you think about that, Carl?
So, Yom Suf.
Yes.
Are we doing this part of Torah now?
No.
Why not?
Because one thing, that temple is not, even the mobile temple is not present, and certainly the permanent temple is not present, nor do we have the Levitical priest and the high priest in order to do these processes, Katrin.
So that meant that when we did have a priesthood,
mm-hmm.
we did have a temple, the fire on the altar, guess what? It never went out. That thing had to be burning what? 24/7, 365. Just like the lamp.
Right.
Just like the lamp. That exactly. lamp had to be burning 24/7, 365.
Exactly.
And the fire on the altar never went out.
Never went out.
So we don't have the altar. We don't have the menorah. But our people think they're doing the laws that Yah prescribed to us by way of Torah.
Oh,
no, we're not doing Torah. We're not doing Torah. Because this right here is not in place at all.
Not at all, Katria.
Mm-hmm.
And you're certainly right to point that out to them, that you're not doing Torah because you're not in a position to do Torah. You have these elements that are not in place to do Torah, as I mentioned, but you are in a position to do what the Most High told you to do, which is this. You don't need that for this. Cry out to the Most High for your ancients. Cry out for your continuum. Gather yourself together. It don't take to be in the same proximity, but the same mindset and initiatives. Learn to do good. Learn to treat your brothers and sisters justly. Your ancient, your widows, your orphans, your poor, your needy. An opportunity presents itself. You can do that. Praise Yah.
And Yah so.
Yes.
The thing is, many Israelites that are awoken today think that Torah, the law of Moses, is the thing that makes us righteous.
No, it does not.
But before Moses was even born, there were righteous men.
Exactly.
Men like Noah, men like Abraham, men like Isaac, men like Jacob, men like Joseph, who didn't have the law of Moses.
Yeah, men like Job. You know.
Men like Job.
Yeah.
Men like Job.
Right.
And Job was tested on whether he was going to do good, be faithful to Yah, or whether he's going to turn his back on Yah.
Exactly.
And Job didn't know nothing about Moses, did he?
No, he did not.
In fact, Moses wasn't even born.
Exactly.
And Yah was testing Job whether he would do right or whether he would do wrong.
It's just that
The test that Yah gave Job is the test that we got today. Even though we Israelites and Yah gave us the Torah and our fathers broke it, that don't mean that you can't be righteous without
right.
the Torah. Because we ain't got priests. We don't have our king. We're not in our land. We just like Joseph, who is in captivity. Can we do right?
Yeah, you can do right.
You ain't got to rob nobody, do you?
No, you ain't got to do that.
You ain't got to sleep with nobody's wife, dude.
You ain't got to do that.
You ain't got to worship the enemy's gods, do you?
No, you ain't got to do that.
You can be just like Joseph. You can be just like Joseph.
You could be just like Father Abraham.
Exactly.
You could be like Oscar. You could be like Yaakov. They didn't have the Torah.
And that's what the Most High told us to look to. He said, look to the rock from which you were hewn, from the hole of the pit from which you was digged. Look to Abraham, your father. Abraham didn't have the law of Moses. No.
No.
But he was a righteous man that Yah gave an everlasting covenant to. So we need to look to the rock from which you was hewn. Just follow
that's
Yah.
It. That's it, Kyle.
Let him order and direct your steps.
That's it, Katria.
Oh, yeah.
So we're not saying that the Torah and the contract won't be reconstituted somewhere down the line, but it's not now. Okay? So, but you can do like Father Abraham. You can do like Brother Isaac. Brother Jacob. You can be like
they ain't our brothers, they're our fathers.
Yeah, our father.
Our father Abraham.
Exactly.
Our father Isaac. Our father Jacob.
You can do that. You can do righteous. You can be righteous like Moses. You can be righteous. Joshua. You can be right like Caleb. Just doing wrong is not by force. It's by choice. Learn to do good. As Patria alluded to, and he's right on point there, look to the rock where you were hewn from to learn how to be righteous and to do righteous and to do good. Stop leaning to your own understanding, doing what you want to do, how you want to do it, when you want to do it, and think that would suffice. Brothers and sisters, we're here to tell you, it won't. Praise God. Thank you, Katria, for pointing that out. Praise God. For pointing out to the students. That's why we love studying, Katria. People that don't love studying Yah and the ancients, the rocks we were hewn from, that's why they are a hot mess. Thank you, Katria.
And the Most High commanded Joshua, study this law day and night.
Exactly.
Commanded our king, study this law day and night.
Exactly.
And who do we think we are that we need to study or meditate on Yah's word every day and every night?
Well, Katriel, let's be honest about it. The evidence is quite clear that we're not doing this.
And how has it worked out for us?
Not very well, brother. It's, as I said,
not so good.
Well, as I said, Katriel, in the beginning of the show, these are dangerous and unusual times for us. And the primary reason for us specifically, because we choose to neglect Yah, we choose not to study his word and focus on his word. As King David said, he always studied the Most High. That's why he wrote these beautiful songs. He always focused on the Most High. That's why he was a humble, compassionate man and showed mercy when mercy was called for. Us, on the other hand, the evidence doesn't lie. We have become a monstrosity. We think we can do the physical elements of Torah, which we can't. And not do what the Most High tells us what we ought be doing, which we can. Great job. Thank you, Coach.
So I got a question for you, Yamsun.
Yes, brother, go ahead.
How do you get to Yah? What way?
You get to Yah? It's not through the assemblage of the Torah at this point, because the Most High has not reconstituted their contract, nor reestablish the elements of the Torah. How you can get to the Most High is basically this. Cry to the Most High for your ancients. Cry out to one another. Gather yourselves together. Learn to do good. And to treat your widows, your orphans, your needy the best you can, however you can, whenever you can. Praise God. And humble yourself before the Most High.
I thought you were going to bring up our mother wisdom.
Oh, yes. You must study wisdom and understanding to gather wisdom and understanding. You must study these. I mean, I'm sorry. I forget. I'm speaking to people that are quite novice in this. They say they know Yah, but the evidence does not suggest it. Go ahead, Cottrell.
Our mother wisdom says, in Proverbs 8:32.
Okay.
Now, therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. For whosoever findeth me findeth life, and obtains favor of Yah. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death.
And that's certainly a fact, Adria. And how do you hear wisdom is sin? Or how do you hear wisdom and understanding? You hear by the study of the Most High Word. You let the Most High footstep be your pathway. That's how you hear. That's how you hear. You garner from wisdom and understanding. And if you're not studying Yah's word, and not only study Yah, you're not applying Yah's word, you love death. You love Sheol. And they got a spot for you. Keep playing. Okay? Keep playing.
So we know that the great general Joshua, Yehoshua,
right,
had to study Yah's word day and night.
Exactly. Are
you know that King
battle?
David and all the kings of Israel had to study and meditate on Yah's word every day and every night.
Are you
Who do we
battle?
Think we are? That we don't think we need to study Yah's word every day.
We got serious
night.
Problems. We don't know Yah. Some of us don't know Yah. And that's
we playing
problem.
Games with our soul.
That's
the
what
King
I'm
David lets us know that you got to be tied to the Most High. You got to be your salvation, your refuge, your high tower, and all that for you to get salvation for the preservation and the restoration of your soul.
Praise God.
So it's not a game. It's not a
it's
game.
Not. And we had to point it out to the students that y'all nothing to be toyed with and played with. You play with yourself, you can lie to yourself all day long and or each other. But you can't certainly lie to Yah. Yah didn't tell you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. It's just that simple. You ain't got to second guess this. You just got to study it, and you have to apply it morning and night, just as the great general, Joshua. He wasn't even a king, but he was leading us. And so Yah wanted men and women that lead us that know him. And how do you know him? Letting the Most High footstep be your pathway. Study his word morning and night. And make the application applicable in those situations. Praise Yah, Kacha. I'm glad you pointed that out.
So for me, Yansu, Joshua was a king.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was conquering nations and kings.
Right.
If I be the king, what does that make me? How many kings do... How many kings did Joshua defeat? But
quite
we don't call him King Joshua. Huh?
Quite a few.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's our greatest general. We call him a general. General Joshua. We don't even
right.
call him that. We just
right.
call him Joshua.
Right.
The book of Joshua. Joshua.
Yep.
No.
Just, and you're right.
Joshua conquered many kings.
Right. Right.
Just like our father Abraham, right? Mm-hmm. When he saved Lot, he defeated five kings. What does that make him?
Make a five time a king.
Oh yeah. But we don't give our father Abraham that title, do we?
Right.
But we so eager to put titles on ourselves.
Ain't
we don't even
shame.
give titles to ancient fathers. Because to me, all the kings that Joshua defeated, Joshua was the first king of Israel,
right.
But I that's just me. That's just me.
That's true. Praise God. And you're right. The other part you pointed out, we're so quick to give ourselves titles. They need a damn thing for nobody.
We'll call all our kings by their first name. We'll say
right.
David, Solomon, Jeroboam, Rehoboam. No. Shame on you. It's King David, King Saul, King
yes.
Rehoboam,
right.
King Jeroboam. I don't care if they was good or bad. You have to give these men their titles.
Exactly.
Because that's what they were.
Exactly. Right. See, that's what it is. People respect the position they were in, and they think they can go around those positions and treat these individuals. Even in modern day time, you can't go around positions. You can't go around eldership. You can't go around wife. You can't go around husband. In fact, you're going to be pleased with Yah. You got to respect those positions. Okay? And even to the minimum, it's just what I just spoke about. Those are positions of authority. Mom, dad, husband, spouse, elders. And you think you can go around spouting crazy to Yah's elders, man, you got serious problems. You don't know Yah as well as you think you do. And you need to know him. In order to respect him, in order to get him to see you. Because a lot of folks that say the Hebrew Israel, y'all don't see y'all. Y'all playing. Y'all playing with yourself. You ain't fooling y'all. Thank you, Dr. M.
And Yamsu.
Yes, brother.
The title elder.
Right.
In the nation of Israel. Was very prominent.
Exactly.
It was not called on the elders first.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, he said Moses to the elders of Israel first.
Exactly.
Not the leaders, not the charismatic wannabe messiahs. The Most High sent Moses to the elders.
Exactly.
And throughout our history, it was always the elders that spoke to the leaders of the nation and to the nation. So
exactly.
The title of elder, you reach that position, it's not something that you strive to get. It's who you are. If you're an elder, you're an elder. And the Most I call them the elders, which he did, first and foremost, then our people need to respect the title of elders because it's a powerful position in
right.
our nation.
And that's why we are monstrosity today as I speak, because we have no respect for anything or nothing. And that's just that, and the evidence doesn't lie. I hate it that it is that way, but like I said, it's unusual and dangerous times. Praise God. Thank you.
And we live in the land of the daughter of Babylon, when
mm-hmm.
the Most High said they would not regard the old nor show favor to the young.
And
we see evidence of that. There's no respect for elders at all. At
None.
All. No respect for elders, the hoary head at all.
No, but there's no game with Yah, because he does. He set it up. So if you're playing about it, be real about it. Thank you, Katriel. And this is all praises. This is the law of the grain offerings, the specification, the codification. This is the law of the grain offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it on the altar before Yah. These men shall take from it his handful of the fine flour of the grain offering with its oil and all the frankincense which is on the grain offering. These priests shall burn it on the altar for a sweet aroma as a memorial to Yah. The remainder of it, Aaron, the high priest and his son, shall eat with unleavened bread. It shall be eaten in a holy place. And that place, in the court of the tabernacle meeting, they shall eat it. This bread, it shall not be baked with leaven. I have given it as their portion, Yah says, of my offering. Made by fire, it is most holy, like the sin offering and the trespass offering. All the males among the children of Aaron may eat it. It shall be a statute forever in your generations concerning the offering, made by fire to Yah. Everyone who touches them must be holy. And Yah spoke to
Moses. We're talking about flour.
Exactly.
We're talking about bread.
Right.
And once it's offered to the Most High as a sin offering, it becomes holy.
Exactly.
Whoever touches it, whoever eats it, becomes holy.
Right.
And actually, the common man can't eat it, can't touch it, can't partake of it.
No.
We're talking about bread.
Bread.
Not an animal, not, fruits, not vegetables, but we're talking about grain, bread. You can offer bread to the Most High for the sins that you've done if you can't afford anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's acceptable to the Most High.
An inanimate object that the Most High infused with holiness is just that. Whether it's animate or inanimate, as far as this flower is concerned. As the Most High said, I make it holy, it's holy. And you better believe it. Thank you, Katriel. And Yah spoke to Moses, saying, This is the offering of Aaron and his sons, which they shall offer to Yah, beginning on the day when he is anointed. When he is anointed, the high priest.
Does everybody get anointed?
No, only the high priest.
Is the whole nation anointed?
No, only the high priest.
Okay, because they throw that word around like everybody's anointed. Oh, we're the anointed nation of Israel. No, we're not. Only the king and the priest are anointed. And we need to know these specifics, because they throw that word around, anointed, like it's meant for everybody.
Well, it says in singular term, Katya, he, that pronoun. It didn't say they are anointed. It said he, in singular term. And we overlooked that, Katya, and then we try to apply this anointing to everybody. This is not for everybody.
Okay, questions? Try to make it exclusive for Jesus.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
No, that's what I'm telling you.
All right. Well, Jesus ain't in there. I don't know where he's coming from, but he ain't in here. Okay.
He definitely is not a Levite. He can't be a Levite and a Judite at the same time.
Yeah, what I'm saying, bro. So I don't, really, that's a waste of my time to study on this fellow. Okay? Now, I don't know what anybody else chooses to study. I don't choose to waste my time. I want to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, Cartier. So I don't elect to study this fellow. And in passing, I mention him like you mentioned him to clarify and clear up some things. But other details, deep study, and focus on this individual, I don't have time for that. Like you don't have time for, Cartier. But we do mention him in passing to educate people. Thank you, Cartier.
And as a nation, we should know these facts, right?
Certainly should, Katya. Certainly
not
should.
Just me and you, but as a whole nation, we should know these facts.
Well, the only way you're going to know that, Katya, is letting the Most High footstep be your pathway, which virtually is his word. That's the only way you're going to know that. And study of his word. And application of his word. And that's how you acquire wisdom and understanding. That's the only way you're going to know that, Katya.
Yes, sir. And it's so unfortunate because I'm looking at social media, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and our people do not understand what Christ, Messiah, Mashiach means.
No, they don't.
They keep attributing that to one man, and they're supposed to be so learned, so educated. It's so unfortunate that the definition of that term, that word, the root of where it comes from, because it comes from the sons of Aaron, who held that title for thousands of years until King Saul came along.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody outside of the family of Aaron was anointed. It's unfortunate that they misuse this term.
They certainly do, because they don't study country. I mean, when you know, how can a little child get in the kindergarten and graduate from kindergarten if they don't study kindergarten prophecies, the fundamentals? So what we try to do, Katya, wake up in kindergarten and then expect we're in the 12th grade. You got to study kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and then be in the 12th grade. You don't wake up and from this that we've been introduced to and think you know everything. Something wrong with you. Your finger broken. You got to learn fundamentals in kindergarten. You got to learn what the first grade teaches, third, second, and so on and so forth. Praise God and bless his holy name, God.
And unfortunately, Yamsu, many people don't study this the way we're studying it in order to get a foundation for understanding.
That's
so it's liable to be like a tumbleweed. Whatever wind blows along, that's what you can roll with because you don't have no foundation.
Not you and I, Sister Abby, are these fellow students. I can assure you, if they're studying intently along with us, they're not going to be tumbleweeds, and you can't blow them off their mark. Praise Yah. Praise Yah, Cartrell.
Praise Yah.
Thank you, Cartrell. And Yah spoke to Moses, saying, this is the offer of Aaron and his sons. which they shall offer to Yah, beginning on the day when he, this individual, is anointed high priest. 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour as a daily grain offering, half of it in the morning, this high priest, and half of it at night. It should be made in a pan with oil. When it is mixed, you should bring it in. The baked pieces of the grain offering you shall offer for a sweet aroma to Yah. The priest from among his sons, the high priest, who is anointed in his place, shall offer it. It is a statute forever to Yah. It shall be wholly burned, completely burned up. For every grain offering for the high priest shall be wholly burned up. It shall not be eaten.
So that's something outside the sin offering that the priests offer on a daily basis.
Exactly.
A grain offering. They got to burn it, and they can't eat it.
None of it.
Is that going on right now?
I don't think so, brother.
But our people think they're doing the law.
Yeah.
We're so far from these codes.
Yeah.
That our people don't realize, we're not nowhere near the mark where we should be.
No. And it's just dead on that, Katriel. It's just dead on that, brother. Keep it real.
Is that on it?
That's why we call it the Real Talk for Real People Study Show. Keep it real. Thank you, Katriel. And lastly, the law of the sin offering, the codifications, specifications. Also, Yah spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron, the high priest, and his son, saying, this is the law of the sin offering, in the place where the burnt offering is killed. The sin offering shall be killed before Yah. It is most holy. The priest.
So. Christianity says Jesus was a sin offering.
Oh, that's right.
Where's the burnt offering that's supposed to go along with the sin offering?
Exactly.
Yah is very specific. Yah is very detailed. He said, this is the law of the sin offering.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, crucifixion is not a sin offering. And with crucifixion, there is no burnt offering. So people need to read the Old Testament to find out the codifications specified by the Creator.
Exactly. And that's why you study. You study morning, noon, and night when opportunity presents itself, because you want to get the clarification of these studies. And certainly people have not gotten clarification of these studies. Because even with that being said, there's some things going to show you, for that often is concerned, Katriel, the priest may eat it. So did they eat Jesus? Or some symbolic thing they said about some wafers and some damn blood? And some wine, symbolic of this so-called offering. This so-called
and you know you're not supposed to drink the blood.
Exactly.
It's the body and blood of Jesus, and you're drinking it and eating it, you're accountable.
That's a slap in the face to God.
You're accountable.
Yeah. Slap in the face of Yah. Because you don't study. Thank you, Katya. It said this offering is most holy. The priest who offered it for sin shall eat it. Did they eat Jesus? In a holy place. Where's the holy place where they eat them? It should be eaten. In a church where they bury dead people? In the court of the tabernacle meeting where this offering shall be eaten. Everyone who touches it, flesh must be holy. So are you holy before you touch Jesus? It doesn't make sense. Doesn't stand to reason because it doesn't make sense. But you believe this nonsense wholeheartedly, like this so-called Jesus, and you put it in comparison to what Yah said about the sin offering, it just doesn't stand up to scrutiny. And it doesn't stand to reason. But you wouldn't know this if you wouldn't study. That's why these studies are essential. They're imperative. Because you can make You have wisdom and understanding to make judgment calls. No, that don't sound right. He wasn't even a Levite. Oh, no. And then, as far as this offer is concerned, they can eat it. And we told not to drink blood. Oh, no, man, hell no. Something ain't right. That's why these studies are imperative. Thank you, Katrina. Everyone who touched the flesh must be holy. And when blood is sprinkled on any garment, that blood, you should wash that on. It was sprinkled in a holy place. But the eating vessel, even the eating vessel in which it is boiled should be broken. And if it is boiled in a bronze pot, it shall be both scoured and rinsed in water. All the males among the priests, not the commoners, may eat of it, this sin offering. It is most holy, but no sin offering from which any of the blood is brought into the tabernacle of meeting to make atonement in the holy place shall be eaten. Let me reread that, but y'all need to know this, which is Jesus. But no sin offering from which any of the blood is brought into the tabernacle to make atonement in the holy place where shall be eaten. It shall be burned in the fire. So I don't know how they're associating this Jesus thing with this culture, because it doesn't stand up to scrutiny, nor does it stand to reason, nor is it logical. I'm not Greek, but nor is it logical in any sense of the word. Praise y'all, Katrina. You have the mic, my brother. You know, well, Sister Abby, you don't say nothing, because you need to save your voice. But Brother Katrina, you have the mic.
All praises. You notice that Christians never go to the book of Leviticus, right?
They ain't going to go to it. It doesn't support.
Why do you think that is?
It doesn't support anything that they're alluding to about this Jesus fellow.
So there's specific codes, specific details in regard to a sin offering. And the common man, his sin offering had to be a female. And unless Jesus is transgender, he's not bringing us atonement for our sins. So most are very specific. And if we did these things in America, they would call us practitioners of voodoo.
Exactly.
Sprinkling blood on a garment, burning an offering on an altar. These things would be considered voodoo. But these are spiritual things that the Gentiles have no understanding of. Only the Most High God, who created heaven and earth and all things that are in it, understands why these sacrifices are important to the nation of Israel. To expiate our sins is done through animal sacrifice, whether they like it or not.
It ain't for them to like. Praise y'all, Cartrell.
Thank you,
Cartrell. About to lead us in the last segment of study, the song, slash song before. And I'm going to introduce it for Cartrell. Oppression by the wicked, even though you're oppressed by the wicked, but rejoicing in Yah. Even though wicked folks are oppressing you, you still should be rejoicing in Yah, like in his Western Hemisphere, his daughter of Babylon, because that's what they do. Oppression by the wicked, but rejoicing in Yah, because you know the inevitability of that oppression going to come to an end. Praise Yah. And this song to the chief musician was a song of King Dollar. Let's listen in. Let's listen up to the studies Cartrell is about to present. Praise Yah.
Well, praise to the Holy One of Israel. And this is why I love King David. Because while he was under duress, under stress, under pressure, people trying to kill him, he writing songs. Mm-hmm. How many of us have the ability to do that?
Stay on focus. Stay on point.
How many of us have the ability to write a song under duress, under pressure, when people trying to kill you, to compose a song? You have Joy and Yah, who are people trying to kill you. That's mm-hmm. why I love King David. Because he shows you when you got adversity, as long as you know Yah, you ain't really got to worry about it. Matter of fact, you could write a song while you're going through it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But that's what we do with the people, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do with the people. While we suppressed, we was batting the blues, right?
Right.
While we was on a plantation, we was singing Negro spirituals, right?
Right.
So our people got the same spirit as King David, because he's from the same tree we from. And when we oppress, we make songs. We write about it. Unfortunately, these music producers have hijacked hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
So our music don't bring the message like it's supposed to. Unfortunately. Because that's our MO. We bring mm-hmm. the message, what's going on. Marvin Gaye made a song, right? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Right? We always knew what's going on and we expressed it in our music. So here it is, King David, while he's going through his adversity, his trials and tribulations, people trying to kill him. He's writing poetry. He's writing songs. He has confidence in Yah. All praise to the Holy One of Israel. May we be like King David in our adversity, in our trials and tribulations, in our strife and our struggles. Hear my voice, Elohim, and my complaint. Who are you complaining to? Do you turn your troubles to Yah first and foremost? We see that King David does this each and every time. He ain't focusing on his mother, father, sister, brother, uncle, aunt, king, prophet. He's turning his attention to Yah. What does he say? Hear my voice, Elohim. In my complaint, preserve my life from fear of the enemy, from the noisy crowd of the ones doing evil, who sharpen their tongue like a sword and aim their arrows like deadly words to shoot innocent men from ambushes. They shoot at him suddenly and fearlessly. They encourage themselves in evil plans. And don't we face that today? Do we face that today?
Exactly.
People who conspire, the wicked who conspired against us, noisy crowds doing evil, who sharpen their tongue like a sword, aim their arrows, deadly words. They call us Israelite identity extremists. How can you be extreme about your identity?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And what do? To shoot innocent men from ambushes. And they try to say we violent, but the universal white racist supremacists, they give themselves license to kill us and get away with it.
Exactly.
Ain't that right?
It's
they
true,
say
man.
We violent. They
it's
say
true.
We violent. We ain't got the violence they got.
Mm-hmm.
Our track record ain't there, trust me. But they point the finger at us like we violent. Okay. They shoot at him suddenly and fearlessly. That's what they do every day, right? Here in America, daughter of Babylon. They encourage themselves in evil plans. What kind of plans they got? Stand your ground. That's why
mm-hmm.
a white woman can shoot through her door at a sister was trying to find out why you threw some roller skates at her children. They talk about laying snares secretly. Oh, yeah. The war on drugs. Let's plant drugs into the so-called quote-unquote black community.
Right.
Say, who will see them? So these people plant guns and drugs in our neighborhood. And their intent is to destroy us. But they're always backfiring.
nothing but the Most High watching them. They plot injustice, saying, "We have made a perfect plan." We out here on the street talking about no justice, no sleep, no peace. They plot injustice. They're not going to give us justice. What does it say? They plot injustice.
Exactly.
They don't live by justice. We out here in the streets crying, no justice, no peace.
To your oppressor. Man, we're crazy. We're crazy as we want to be. Crazy as we want to be.
And our enemies, what do they say? We made the perfect plan. Because these niggas out here crying no justice, no peace. And we plotting injustice for them. No,
right.
They ain't getting no justice. We're going to arrest them for protesting peacefully. Surely man's mind and heart are cunning. And we're dealing with some cunning people, right? Aren't we dealing with some cunning people? They got every trick in the book for us, don't they?
Yes, sir.
But what they don't know, verse 7, but Elohim will shoot at them. When Yah shoots at them, can they block it?
Don't even think about it. It's coming.
Can they stop it?
Don't even think about it.
We waiting for Yah to start shooting at them, right?
Exactly.
Because they're shooting at us. Mm. And what does it say? They will be suddenly struck down with an arrow. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah. We ain't talking about man's arrow. We talking about the Most High's arrow. And I don't know what them two angels was carrying into Sodom and Gomorrah, but there wasn't no defense against them, was there?
No, it was not.
Their own tongue shall ruin them. Ain't that evident in Donald Trump?
Exactly.
The more he talks, the more he hangs himself, don't he?
Yeah, it's certainly the truth.
All those who see them will shake their head. I'm shaking my head at Donald Trump because the nigga talk too much. Excuse my French.
Yeah.
All mankind shall be afraid. How many of mankind? We talking about Yamsu?
All.
We talking about Navy SEALs?
Yep.
Am I Green Beret?
Yep.
We talking about Vladimir
Marines.
Putin?
Yep. Marines, they're going to be scared. My boy's going to be scared, too.
Was Jesus Christ a man? Was Jesus Christ a man? People call Jesus Christ, was he a man?
Yep. So they said.
Yah says, all mankind, you and me too, brother, all mankind, you and me, shall be afraid. Afraid of what? They shall declare the work of Yah. We already ahead of the game because we're studying the work of Yah, aren't we?
Exactly.
So we're going to have some fear because he said all mankind, but we ain't going to be afraid like most, are we?
No, I don't think.
And shall wisely ponder what he has done. We doing that beforehand. Y'all going to wonder what y'all have done because y'all ain't thinking about it now.
Right.
And when he break it on you, it's going to be too late.
Too much, too little, too late.
So the righteous shall be glad in Yah because we've been studying, right, and trying
exactly
to walk that path. Let Yah guide and order our steps. It says the righteous shall be glad, but everybody else going to be in shock, right?
Exactly.
And shall take refuge in him. No, we already taking refuge in him. We already taking refuge in him. Or you should
exactly
be, based on the study we studying, right?
Praise Yah.
All the upright in heart shall praise him. So you, if you're not on this path right now, it may be too late.
Yeah.
But we know it's coming for those who take refuge in him and those who are upright in heart. That means you change the ways. You circumcise your heart. You're not going for the okie doke. You done threw off the social engineering, and you've come to the light, and you're following the light, and you ain't going back.
Exactly.
So you have to be upright in your heart, do the right thing, learn to do right. You have to take refuge in Yah, not in Jesus, not in Buddha, not in Allah, not in all these false doctrines, but you have to know the true and living God, Yah Kai, the creator of the universe, and take refuge in him. And taking refuge in him means knowing him, understanding him, hearing him, seeking what he's saying, understanding what he's saying, and being comfortable, trusting, hoping, taking refuge in him. Thank our King David for just making it simple and plain to us, because it ain't really hard. We just have to apply ourselves. All praise to the Most High.
All praise. You know why it's hard for some people? Because they want to lean to their own understanding, and they want to do what they want to do, when they want to do it, and how they want to do it. And thus, it's difficult to understand the mind of Yah. It's difficult because you're not humble. It's difficult because you are not trusted in the Most High. Let him be your rock, your shield, your buckler, your high tower. Yeah, it becomes difficult for people that don't want to humble themselves to Yah. But thus, people that are humble to Yah, want to understand Yah, want to follow Yah, want Yah's first step to be to understand. It's not difficult, as Cottrell said, in any shape, form, and fashion. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Cottrell, I'm going to ask you for your closing remarks. And Sister Avia, I'm going to ask you to remain quiet and let your voice heal. And then we're going to listen to Cottrell's commentaries, and we're going to get out of here. Praise Yah.
Well, praise to the Holy One of Israel and our King, King David, because he's showing us that we could have a personal relationship with the Most High. And the more you study him, the more you understand that we have to make a personal relationship with the Most High, even though we are a nation. The Most High will hear us when we cry out to him. That's why he says, hear my voice, Elohim, and my complaint. Every adversity that we face, we can bring it to the Most High, just like our King, King David. We heard the saying, follow the leader, and King David is showing us the way. And I thank and I love King David, the fact that the Most High created him, that he's sharing his thoughts with us, so that we can connect exactly like he did. And it's not too hard if you really understand what he's saying.
Exactly.
So I bless y'all. I bless our King. And all praises to the Most High. I want to be with King David when he praises Yah forever. I want to be right there with him. All praises. Hallelujah.
Praise Yah. And I concur with Cottrell. And I hope, fellow students, you concur too. Praise Yah and bless his holy name and continue to let his footstep be your path. Stop leading to your own understanding. It ain't cute. You're not going anywhere. But humble yourself before the Most High. Be obedient to the Most High and do what the Most High asks you to do. Stop trying to play Torah. Stop trying to reestablish that contract when it's not reestablished yet, which it will be. But it ain't your part to reestablish anything. Well, here's what you can do. You can study the Most High Word. You can study along with someone. They don't have to be with us, but study with someone. You can cry out to the Most High in prayer for our ancients, for the mistakes they made to get us in the situation that we find ourselves in. You can cry out for each other for the continuum. The continuum madness. You can gather yourselves together. It doesn't have to be in the same proximity. Sometimes it is when opportunity calls for that you come together, but not necessarily when you're living in the daughter of Babylon and not at home. And also, learn to do good. Learn to know what is right and what is wrong. And to do the right things, not the wrong things. And learn to take care of your widows. Take care of your orphans. Take care of your needy. This ain't hard, people. We only make it hard when we're leaning to our own understanding. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Cottrell, so Savvy, I'll save that voice. Fellow students, may the Most High footstep be your pathways, which is his words. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Shalom and good night. Thank you.
You know what you got to do, got to